God bless you, one and all. Brother Ryan here again with good news that the Lord is risen. And as we put our trust in the living God, we believe that everything that has been written, it's for our benefit. So we gather together at heart, assemble in our own congregations to take hold of the faith that was once delivered to the saints and is among us even now. For faith that works by love is an eternal thought that was in the mind of God before the worlds were framed. And in him we live and move and have our being. As God is not so far away as the natural senses would try to tell you, the spark of life of our souls is powerful evidence of a creator's hand behind it all. And truly it is a long road we travel down upon this pilgrimage of ours, as we seek for a city of foundations where righteousness dwells. How many really look at our lives as a journey of seeking and finding the Lord's will, a pilgrimage that leads to a better country, or do we just look at ourselves as going to church on a certain day? I pray that everyone feels the call of heaven to the intent of being on the road to our real dwelling place that God ever inhabits, the place where the Lamb is the light thereof, even as we go about our daily lives in search of our daily bread. So for this week's daily devotionals, we're on the subject of our personal choices and how we build up our souls and how God builds them up. So we'll speak again on the subject of As For Me. Yesterday, we came to the point of fighting off discouragement, as Asaph of old did, the poet, singer, composer of Psalm 73, by getting into the sanctuary where faith becomes clearer and we find understanding. And that's the way of life, getting to the place where faith by the name of Jesus is lifted up, a place where there's room to grow. And we put aside the conflicts of this world, whether personal like Asaph's, or the wars and rumors of wars among nations. But of course, as written, our warfare is a spiritual one against the powers of darkness that have impact upon the world at large. In that warfare, our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. As we live by the armaments of the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, that comes not only by doing the right thing, but loving the right thing, and having our feet covered, gospel shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and being ready at all times to give out the good news. That established, we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you know all these things as much as I do. But we have need of reminders along the way, and we do need encouragement to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow, of which few there be that find it. As many are saved, thank God, but few find the Lord's perfect will and way in this earth, as God seeks out a remnant seed to work through, who, like Jacob of old, wanted the birthright of spiritual inheritance more than his brother Esau, who just didn't care very much about that. So God's pathway is for those that have heart for the battle, just like Gideon's 300 did in the days of the judges. And that principle runs throughout scriptures. As God chose Abraham and a few souls that came out of Ur of the Chaldees. And there were 8 souls with Noah to ride out the flood. And of course, in the choosing of the tribes of Israel, they were the least of peoples upon the face of the earth. In the days of Elijah, there were 7,000 who wouldn't bow the knee to Baal. And Jesus himself, with a handful of apostles, turned the world upside down, from mythology and idol worship to those who walk in the light as he is in the light. And it's always amazing to me to think about it, as one day before the early church converted, they were just a bunch of pagans subject to the darkness of their age. The next day, the next minute after confession, by belief in the heart that is confessed outwardly, well, they were the church. Now, they still had a long way to go, but they were saved as the church of God. And they were getting ready for the journey, having made the choice of Joshua, which is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we're just thankful for the Lord's mercy, without which we'd all be like as Sodom and Gomorrah, or worse yet, like Capernaum of Jesus' day, because they saw the miracles and repented not, nor accepted the very messenger of the covenant himself in Christ. And Jesus said, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you, speaking of Capernaum, because Sodom would have repented if they'd had all the evidence that you see before you, and yet you won't have any repentance at heart. It's very sobering. It's very true. Human nature is full of unrighteousness, and no one's fooling the Almighty. He's sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. So be slow to wrath and anger and swift to hear what the word speaks, because your life does actually depend upon it. We just thank God that we're not appointed to wrath and have a part to play in the plan of the ages that the Lord of hosts oversees. It's his glory, and that battle is ultimately the Lord's. Our next portion of scripture that I want to read, it comes from Jeremiah chapter 26 and starts at the 12th verse. It's speaking of the subject of submission to a greater will than our own by the life example of Jeremiah the prophet. In the final days of the kings of Judah, some 600 years before Christ, Jeremiah got strengthened, prepared for the days that were at hand, when God would raise up the Chaldean nation of Babylon in order to break down the vessel of Jerusalem and reform and remake it into something better that was good for every use that the Lord deemed necessary. And of course, the breaking down of Jerusalem would have more to come. About a generation after Christ upon the cross and the Roman destruction of 70 AD, but the Lord would reestablish the nation in order that the Messiah could be born in Bethlehem. And Jerusalem had to exist to fulfill prophecy, and it was going all the wrong way. So the great potter at the wheel reformed and remade it. Because of this, as Jesus maintained himself, it cannot be that a prophet perish at any other place than at Jerusalem so as to fulfill Scripture, as that's the place that was prepared and so central to the gospel story, where Abraham gave it the name of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. So here at Jeremiah chapter 26, the prophet stands in the court of the Lord's house and preaches repentance for Israel and Judah. They've fallen wholly into idolatry and transgressed the covenant of their fathers. And the moment that God has prepared Jeremiah the prophet for, it's come to its inevitable conclusion. And the prophet would not only have to show tremendous courage, but also he would have to submit to a higher will than his own. And that'll show in his words, and we'll speak to it more after we read from Jeremiah 26, verse 12 and onward. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, and there comes our title phrase in verse 14. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. And of course, from there, the debate continues. So following the accusation that this man is worthy to die in verse 11, the prophet shows great strength of character by delivering what God has told him to speak. And as for me, do with me what you will. It's in the Lord's hands now. And that takes courage. in the face of danger, to have such a confession. And it took a willingness on the prophet's part to be ingrained in a greater purpose than just his own life. And the Lord prepared him in advance, knowing the depth of the character that would be required of him at the moment from trial. As right from the start of the book of Jeremiah, the greatness of God shows in the Lord's transcendence over time itself, with its "I knew you before you were born" message, and "I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Think of the strength that imparts to one's confidence to have such knowledge from on high, to be part of your very own witness. That's truly astounding, but not unheard of in Scripture, for Moses needed the same type of sanctifying word at his commission to be an instrument of salvation in God's hands, spoken from out of the burning bush. Abraham had need to be dealt with on a friend-to-friend basis, and on it goes. So Jeremiah would not have been ready for this moment had he not been prepared by the Lord. And at the first, he protested that he was not in shape for such a task. There in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, for he says, "Ah, Lord, I can't speak. I'm just a child." But the Almighty and the Ancient of Days put forth his very own hand and said, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." What a thought. Now, we're not all apostles and prophets, but through Scripture, God can witness through our personal testimonies, and he's always witnessing by his word. So we're being made ready too, like as a bride elect, adorned for her husband. Jehovah Shai, God the husbandman, we draw inspiration from him and strength through these verses. And of course, in Jeremiah's instance, it would come down to the razor's edge, for in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, the prophet will try his utmost to not speak in the name of the Lord anymore, essentially saying, "I've just had enough." But the fire within his bones was too strong, and he grew weary of not speaking, and the seed that had been planted just had to make itself known. It was in his heart like a burning fire, despite all the opposition and persecution he'd been subjected to. So, as for me, I've done my part. You do as you will. He put his trust in the Lord, serving a greater purpose than his own desires. Thus did he preach submission to the king of Babylon, who was at the gates, in order that the nation of Judah could stay in their own land. Now, of course, as you're aware of, that message was rejected, and the city was besieged and taken away captive, where they wept by the waters of Babylon. But the temple was destroyed, and the Ark of the Covenant passed from knowledge, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from off the Holy of Holies, stood upon the Mount of Olives in Ezekiel 11:23, the same place where Jesus would ascend after resurrection. And it's also the place where Jesus will touch down in the latter days at the hour of the second coming. Now, by scriptural example and parallel, did Jesus himself show submission to a higher will and offer himself to be done with as you will, like Jeremiah? This is his "as for me" moment, of which we'll speak a little bit more about tomorrow. But in Luke chapter 22, from verse 39, we'll read there, as we're at the Garden of Gethsemane and the fulfillment of the purpose and of life and creation, all those things are at hand. And from Luke 22:39, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Even the master himself had to experience submission to a greater will, living out the precept of "thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." as he went out to the Mount of Olives, the same place from which the Holy Presence, the Shekinah glory cloud, ascended above from the aforementioned book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse 23. The same mountain that Jesus ascended after his direct from, he ascended from there after his directive to go out to preach to the nations following resurrection. And upon that mountain, he'll return in like manner as he went up, being parted from the disciples, and he was carried up into heaven. Now, is all that miraculous? It sure is. Bible starts off with a miracle, one of creation, when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And from there, miracles never cease. If you don't like miracles, you're not going to be very happy reading the Bible. And as Jeremiah of old, Jesus received strength for the trial and being prepared for the moment and ready and willing to submit to a higher will than that of the people of Israel or of the Roman authority, he made himself to carry through. For how else to fulfill Scripture? What was written, and to remain holy, God had to keep the promise. And thus the innocent blood was shed that finally brought destruction in about a generation of time from the crucifixion, some 35 plus years later. But Jesus was prepared for the fate laid out for him. Though in a body of flesh as a son of man, he dreaded the moment, just like Jeremiah did, or as you and I would. So when Pilate would question him and say, "Don't you know I have the power to release you?" The reply was, "You could have no power at all, except it was given from above." Scripture had to be fulfilled. And the word of God fits together as a perfect work to bring salvation and forgiveness to everyone that fears the Lord and does righteousness out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tribe and tongue. As Peter proclaimed, who learned from the Master himself at Acts 10:35, and Jesus was prepared for the challenge from a youth. When he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, encouraged in the raising up by the scriptures that spoke of him, the way being prepared also by John the Baptist. And it all works together for good as we move toward the finish line. To God be the glory. God bless you, one and all. Amen.